It is the FTN Fast Break. Welcome in, everybody. Episode 1. Myself, Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawisenberg DFS, joined by my co-host, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant. Mike, getting the basketball pod restarted here at FTN Fantasy. After a little bit of a hiatus midway through last season, I am excited for this. How you feeling, my friend?
There is nothing better, Zach, than when you play Madden and you used to hit the timeout button and your players would get refreshed and replenished. So that is what the FTN NBA podcast is, refreshed and replenished. Summer League, we're fired up. NBA season, it is an honor to be here with you, sir. I just got to keep up with your greatness, but I can't wait. I'm so happy we're back, ready to get started.
Yeah, Mike, and I think you mentioned Summer League. Obviously, we'll talk a lot about that today, sitting here July 19th, day 8 of the Vegas Summer League event this year. So plenty of that. The fact that you're along with me for this ride, but one of, if not the brightest college basketball mind that I know. So being able to talk about some of these guys who are making the transition to being first-year pros, I think this is going to be fun here today. It's going to be fun throughout the rest of the offseason. We are planning on these episodes in the offseason, once a week, released on Fridays. Get you ready for the weekend, right? Kind of recap the week that was, and not just in the NBA world, right? We can talk some WNBA. We will talk the Olympic tournament over the next couple weeks, and we will talk college basketball at times once the season gets underway in the fall. But the fast break here, episode 1. Mike, we are starting, actually, I'm already going off script because this is a minor move, but we just got a trade live as we started recording. The Nets have picked up Zaire Williams and a second round pick from Memphis. Memphis in return will get Mamadi Diakite. My instant reaction to that, Mike, I love the Zaire Williams addition for a team like Brooklyn that is full throttle tank right now, right? After the Mikal Bridges trade last month. And I think the Grizzlies getting an extra roster spot, they need some right now. This team is stacked with talent. And I think Mamadi Diakite probably ends up being waived and thrown back into the free agent pool. But I think, again, a minor move, but it makes sense for both sides.
Yeah, it totally does. Zaire Williams, I was critical of him last year when you and I would talk on the Discord. I was wrong. He was able to put up some nice games, better than I thought he was. That is the type of player that the Nets should have right now as they're rebuilding, testing out, trying to see the young players who can hang around. And I can't be any higher on the Grizzlies than I'm going to be. So they need space. It's not Zaire Williams' fault. It's just they are loaded this year, you know, with my guy John Morant. So, yeah, I think it makes sense. I hate saying win-win, but I think it's good for both teams.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Grizzlies are probably going to be kind of the sexy sleeper pick from a lot of people heading into the season, not just getting Ja back, right? But this is a team with Desmond Bane and a former Defensive Player of the Year in Triple J and Marcus Smart. And now we're going to talk about their summer league team, one of the few teams left with a shot at Monday's title game. But before we get into more of that summer league discussion, the big news on the first team level last week was the extension signed by Jalen Brunson. Brunson, 4 years, $156.5 million extension with the New York Knicks. Obviously, we know that the Nova Knicks, right, became they leveled up, bringing Bridges into the fold last month. And the big talking point around this extension, Mike, is that this is 58% less money than what Brunson could have signed if he waited until next offseason. I do think there's a little bit more to it than that, but what was your first reaction when you saw this news come across and realizing how much Brunson just sacrificed for the betterment of this roster build?
The first thought that came to mind is that Danny Hurley gave credit about his back-to-back championships to the type of player that UConn recruits and talked about the parents and talked about the mindset. Right off the bat, Jalen Brunson. Boy, Jay Wright knows how to recruit, huh? Because he gets selfless players like Brunson. Brunson, the most selfless superstar we've seen in a while. Look at his points per game. 8, 12, 16, 24, 28, each of the last 5 years. He's increased his three-point attempts from 2 to 6.8 last year while maintaining 40% efficiency. He hits every big shot, plays as a team, will distribute if he has to. Doesn't surprise me. That was the first reaction, because I think there is a handful of players, Zach, who would have done that, and he is one of them, which is why the Knicks are one of my favorites. Spoiler alert for later in the pod. for a team that is following the script. Selfless players that are tough-minded. Doesn't surprise me at all. Kudos to Jalen Brunson. I don't know anybody else would have passed up that money, but the guy's a superstar, one of the most selfless superstars we've seen in a long time.
When it seems like when you get a superstar caliber player foregoing a significant amount of salary for the betterment of that roster build, for the team's outlook going forward, it's usually a guy, in my mind, to my recollection, it's a guy that's a little bit further along, maybe on the downside, the backside of their prime, and trying to extend that championship window that they perceive that to have. And this is just not that with Jalen Brunson. This seems unprecedented, and I don't think this is going to be something that we see very frequently around the league, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not the last one either, because it's not just the fact that Jalen Brunson is saving the Knicks some cap space over the next 3+ years. He will also be able to opt out in the final year of this contract, 28-29 player option. That means that he will opt out and become a free agent, or you would think he would, when he is entering his 10th year of NBA service, which means that 10-year max goes up to 35% of the salary cap. And we know with the new media rights deal, the NBA salary cap is expected to increase year over year until then. So maybe he's not sacrificing as much as we thought initially, but he's still got to stay healthy. He's still got to be at this superstar level to get that max contract. So kind of similar to what you said with that little trade we got at the beginning of the pod, this feels like a win-win to me.
Yeah, it does. And listen, he's going to build in safety nets for himself. But how many players, Zach, would have went for the money now and still kept that 10th year ob as much as they could to have it there for them? So I get it. Love Jalen Brunson. Everyone kept doubting the Knicks. Can he really keep doing it? Dallas is kicking themselves, although they've been great for letting him go.
Right.
But I think Jalen, just really impressed with him. What a spectacular season. 28.7 points, 48% from the field, 40% from three, 85% from the free throw line, 3.5 rebounds, 6.7 steal. Enough. Great job.
Yeah, and he's sacrificing some money now, but also you're locking in $150 million. That's generational wealth. He's still doing pretty well for himself.
I do it for
$100. Yeah. It's fine. Well, let's jump into some summer league talk here. And we've got a couple standouts that we wanted to highlight. And I think this one, we'd certainly be concerned if we weren't talking about a guy like Reed Sheppard in this summer league format. So far through the four games played, and he had Cam Whitmore, last year's summer league MVP. He was out there for two games earlier this week, but through the four games that Sheppard, again, the third overall pick out of Kentucky, through the four games that he has played, Mike, 20 points per game, 5 boards, 5 assists, 33 minutes per game, 50% from the floor, just 28 from three. And the fact to me that to the eye test, it's not just the stats with it, that you're looking at in your daily fantasy lineups on DraftKings or your props on Prize Picks or Underdog. When you're watching this kid play out there, he looks like not only does he belong, to me, he's already too good for this summer league event. Good on him for playing all four games, it's not a group stage, but kind of round robin, right? The seeding games here to start the event. He looks this good, and he's not shooting anywhere near, I think, what we imagine his ceiling to be with how good he was at Kentucky from deep. So what are your thoughts on Reed after the first four summer league outings?
Yeah, I had my doubts on Reed Sheppard, Zach, in terms of his immediate impact, because sure, he had 2.5 steals per game at Kentucky coming off the bench, but I was worried about weak side defense, I was worried about getting isolated in the NBA against bigger players. He's a little thin. The shooting is superb. It will get better from three-point range. He was such a good shooter in college. I mean, off the dribble, stagger screens away. I mean, he could do it all. So that will get better, no doubt. What I have been really impressed with is his playmaking. Watched it last night. Really struggled, Zach, early, maybe because I had him in the captain spot. But he struggled early with the turnovers. But then he started adjusting his game, dribble penetration, bounce pass to the post. Screen and roll, hitting the big man. His instincts, his playmaking ability, that is what has translated immediately in my mind. I'm impressed with Reed Sheppard. The three-point shooting will get better. He's a creator. He's a winner. Calipari, him and Dillingham coming off the bench, do with that as you may. But yes, I am shocked he's been this good. I know it's summer league, but I think he's actually going to make an impact this year. And that three-point shooting will get better. When it does, it's going to be off the charts.
And it's, I mean, it's nice to see him like last night. You mentioned Dillingham, right? We had the Shepherd Dillingham face off last night in that late night game. To see him, I think he started 0-for-5. To see him like play through that little bit of a drought there in that first half and just continue to kind of pound that rock, right, and chip away and come up with, again, not a great shooting performance, but he's still 50% on the week. So I've been very impressed with Reed Shepherd, but I think I've been more impressed, and maybe because I didn't expect this type of an offensive explosion from a guy like Jordan Miller. I know you are well-versed in the Jordan Miller experience at the college level. So I want you to give us your take on Jordan Miller, what we've seen so far this week: 25 points per game, 4 boards, 3 assists in just under 29 minutes, 54% from the field, 53 from three. Mike, he shot 31% from three in the G League last year. So is this a mirage, or is this something that we should expect Jordan Miller to maybe break into that Clippers rotation this year?
Zach, I'm going to ask you, where were you on March 26th of 2023? Okay, you have no idea, but I'm going to tell you where I was. I was watching Texas up 64-51 in the Elite Eight. And the only reason I was locked in is, one, because I don't sleep during March Madness, but two, because I'm like, oh, I went 3-for-3 in my Elite Eight picks. It would be nice to go 4-for-4, but I guess Miami's not going to do it. 13 minutes left. All of a sudden, Jordan Miller made me realize that he's going to be an impact player. He 27 points that day, steals, blocks, assists, and he was 13-of-13 from the free throw line. So he is very Sean Marion-esque in that he is a matchup, the Matrix, right? Matchup nightmare. He can score inside and out. And you're right about the three-point shooting. Very fair. But I'm not surprised to see that come back. It's going to regress, of course. 53% is a little aggressive. But he's a matchup nightmare. And that was the point at which I said, you know, a kid who can take over a game like this, rebounding, block, he can play defense, if he can just get the shooting, and we're seeing it now. So it's all come together. Maybe this is the positive regression because he was struggling so much, but Jordan Miller was a great pick to me. I am not surprised to see it clicking for him, and I think he will be making an impact absolutely this year, even bigger than maybe we expected. That is the type of player the NBA loves right now. 2024, tall, lengthy, can defend, can shoot, can attack off the dribble, can block, can rebound. So yes, I'm with you. And I was a little slow to warm because on that team in Miami, we're talking Woga Poplar, Nigel Pack, Isaiah Wong, Norchard Omir inside. He was sort of the one that was hiding in behind the scenes. And then in the tournament, he just took it over. And I want to thank Jordan for making me go 4-for-4 there in the Elite Eight. Great job with Jimmy Larrañaga and the Hurricanes. But yes, Jordan Miller is a real deal.
Yeah, you mentioned Isaiah Wong with the Summer Suns right now there out in Vegas. But in this Clippers team, like, Jordan Miller has been the catalyst for them being one of the two teams as we sit here on Friday. Today's games haven't tipped off yet. We get the final round robin game, so there are still two other teams vying for that 4-0 record and then on point differential hoping to get into that title game on Monday night. But Jordan Miller, Kobe Brown there, Musa Diabate has been good. Ray J. Dennis has stepped in over Trevor Hudgens as the week has progressed, and that team undefeated so far throughout the Vegas event. So another team that we already talked about a little bit earlier with that trade, another team that is 4-0, I should say, the other team, right? Only two of them so far, the Memphis Grizzlies. And this summer league team is loaded. First of all, a lot of these guys were basically the first team starting lineup as Memphis was tanking at the end of last season. But guys like Jake LaRavia, Scottie Pippen Jr., obviously 9th overall pick, Zach Edey, ankle sprain out there, right? They've got the pre-Vegas events, the Cali Classic, the Salt Lake City Summer League. I believe Memphis was in Salt Lake. Zach Edey tweaks his ankle, sits out the first 3 games of Vegas, and then comes back last night, tweaks that ankle again. So hopefully he can be on the mend plenty of time before the season. But the name I want to discuss, Mike, is GG Jackson, because former, if I recall correctly, former number one player in his high school class, right? A little bit of a struggle there at South Carolina. And that 1 year at Carolina did drop him down draft boards. And it feels like, for what the value of that typical second round pick is, that Memphis got a dang steal here with GG. 21 points, 10 boards, 2 assists in 31 minutes per game here in Vegas. I think the shooting efficiency is leaving a little bit to be desired, just 40% from the field. But this is a volume scorer, right? And I think translating to the NBA level, we saw a little bit of it last year, but now that he's going to be playing a role on a more complete team, a team with playoff and second round and maybe conference finals aspirations with how much talent they have here. If you've got a guy that's a pressure cooker, just volume scorer off the bench like GG Jackson, I think this is great news for Memphis. And again, we mentioned you got to get Zaire Williams out of there because there are so many guys on the quote unquote fringe of this Memphis roster, like GG, like LaRavia, like Scottie Pippen Jr., who we could have done this little segment on Scottie as well. So talk to me a little bit more about GG. I know you were following him throughout the college ranks and then what you've seen this week.
Yeah, Frank Martin leaves South Carolina. It goes up to UMass where he's done a good job. GG was considering staying home in South Carolina, had offers from Auburn, Duke, Georgetown, North Carolina, eventually went to the Tar Heels. That's where he initially committed. Mm-hmm. Then kudos to Lamont Paris, who was, in my mind, the college basketball coach of the year last year. He just did an incredible job at South Carolina. And he decommitted and he went to South Carolina. He started strong there and then he struggled. You know, you play Tennessee, you play Kentucky, get pushed around a little bit. So that's why he fell. He was actually the freshman of the week for the first week of the season when he had 15 points, 9 rebounds in the SEC, but sort of fell off from there. However, been very impressed with GG Jackson. He is, what's key about this is he doesn't turn 20 until December. So he's still really young. And when Ja Morant got hurt, you saw him score. Now, if you look at his box scores, people are going to say he only scored the big points, 20, had 30 a couple times in blowouts. That is not true. Best game I saw, Morant's in a sling on the sidelines, 27.6 made threes, home win over the Bucks in February. I think Grizzlies are going to be very good. I love the resiliency that Jackson is showing. I'm the Gatorade Player of the Year. I'm going to North Carolina. I stay home in South Carolina. I disappoint. I get drafted, but it was late. Now I'm bouncing back. So he shows that resiliency. So many players go in that situation. We never hear from them again. GG Jackson, very impressive. You put the numbers up here. Yes, the field goal percentage, not where we want it to be, but 21 points, 9.5 rebounds, and significant scoring last year in NBA games. GG Jackson, one to watch on my Memphis Grizzlies.
Two more pieces of news before we close out the pod. As we're going to do here, on the FTN Fast Break, we'll do, you know, kind of our formatted type of stuff, your stock up, your stock down, stat of the week, that type of stuff. But two other pieces of news I do want to discuss briefly here. You know, you mentioned the Bucks a minute ago. Gary Trent Jr. is their newest addition here in the free agency period. He was reportedly looking for a contract from the Raptors, right, as the team he was last with, valued at around $25 million a year. And now settles for the one-year, $2.6 million deal to join a contender in Milwaukee. So I guess my first question is from the Gary Trent side of things. This has to be a pretty significant disappointment compensation-wise, no?
It is. I think he wants the ring. I think he's hoping that he can set himself up for a larger contract by being a chess piece a la PJ Tucker on a team that's really good. And that's what he's doing with the Bucks. And Zach, the Bucks need him because, yeah, you know, Chris Middleton, you have double ankle surgery at, what is he, 32 years? That's not great. So Gary Trent can light it up. Still, Gary Trent, you know, it feels like he's been in the league for years. Gary Trent, still only 25 years old, shooting from three-point range, 39%, 37%. So yes, I think he's disappointed, but I think he goes to a team where he can make an immediate impact. They make a run. They start playing well. Gary Trent's stock goes up, gets another deal. So I like it. I like it for the Bucks. I think he's a winner, that type of player. Disappointed for him, but show the GG Jackson resiliency, Gary, and go out there and nail some threes when they double Giannis.
Yeah, and I think I'm with you. I think it is a good bet as the market for him kind of collapsed, right? And I think to no fault of his own, right, we see a lot of teams running away from that second apron, the luxury taxes, all of the things that teams are hamstrung by with this new cap mechanism in the new CBA. So I think, again, I'm with you. The bet on himself, the bet on the Bucks that they can get back to championship contention. And then we've seen so many role players going back to the Lakers in the bubble, the Warriors, then, of course, you know, the Nuggets, the Celtics. Some of these role players that are key pieces in a run like some of those teams have had, then get to go cash in 2-3 year deals somewhere else for a higher rate. So I do think you mentioned just 25 years old for Gary Trent Jr. I think his career is far from over. And we'll have to see this time next year. He could certainly be on the move once again. Do you think that he makes it into the Bucks closing five here? Like, for me, I think regular season wise, it's certainly matchup based. But I think in the postseason, he could struggle a little bit to stay on the floor. But again, what's the give and take with maybe any perceived defensive shortcomings that a guy like Trent Jr. provides, but then that floor spacing on the other end, which is so key when you've got a guy like Giannis out there on the floor?
Well, Zach, if we saw Malik Beasley on the floor, I think we can see Gary Trent. And listen, they have to get their defense better. The defense was significantly better 2 years ago. Struggled this year, especially with the coaching change, Doc. But he brings a unique skill that I think they can compensate for if the rest of the team is solid defensively. And you can see what the Bucks leadership is saying. By letting Drew Holiday go, which we can debate till as long as you want, They said we need scoring to win in the playoffs. So can Gary Trent be solid enough to get them a decent record in the regular season? Sure. And Gary Trent's value, like Dame Lillard's value, is going to be hitting big shots late in playoff series. So I think it's enough to get them through. And remember, they were fine record-wise with Beasley. It's just they had the injuries and things sort of fell apart in the playoffs. So answer to your question, yes, because I think it sticks with their motto, which is we need late-game scoring. Kevin Durant's toe is if that's not on the line, they don't win a title.
Yeah.
Who knows what the Nets do? Budenholzer could have been fired right away. We don't even know, but things change. So I think they realized they cannot rely just on Giannis and aging Middleton to get the chip. And that's why they went to Lillard. And I think that's why they go to Trent also.
Yeah. And I think ultimately Gary Trent's not the guy that's going to be, if you don't get the bounce back season from Dame, if you don't get mostly healthy Chris Middleton this year, and if Giannis is not able to stay healthy, this team's just not going to win a title in the first place. So adding around the fringes of the roster there, Gary Trent Jr., we'll see how that works out. Moving to the Western Conference now, just briefly, Russell Westbrook traded to the Utah Jazz, expected to be released, and then sign with the Denver Nuggets. So if you look at what Denver has done this offseason, obviously, many people's, including my own, pick for the to be the NBA champion at the beginning of the postseason, somewhat upset by the Minnesota Timberwolves there, winning game 6 and game 7 of that Western Conference semifinal series. You lose Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in free agency. Last year after the championship, you lose Bruce Brown to free agency. And now in summer league, you go up, you trade up in the first round. You bring in a guy like Daron Holmes, who I think that the Nuggets not only wanted him to be the backup to Jokic, obviously the DeAndre Jordan, Zeke Nagy experiment, I think it's fair to say, has failed. And now Jordan probably going to be that third string, or that was the plan, because Holmes, you trade up to get him, not just as a backup, but maybe even a second big, because Holmes, I know you know better than me, he can stretch the floor a little bit. And we see some teams like the team that was built to beat the Nuggets, right? How did they do it? Two bigs and a lot of length, switchability on defense. And now I liked Calvin Booth's plan to get Holmes in here, but tears his Achilles in summer league. That's a huge setback for this team. And now they've really just added a guy like Dario Saric and Russell Westbrook. I think the options for that fifth starter in place of Caldwell Pope is still just Christian Brown, Peyton Watts, and Julian Strother. And none of those three guys are complete enough players in my eyes to be starters on a championship contending team. But it's also really tough for me to not put a team with Nikola Jokic in the title conversation. So how are you approaching this Denver team with all the turmoil that's gone on here since they bowed out?
This is the perfect landing spot for Russell Westbrook. How would Russell Westbrook's legacy have changed if we didn't have game 6, Clay? If Klay Thompson go nuts, 3-1 they're up, Golden State wins game 2, Klay Thompson goes ballistic, and the Warriors win in 7 there in that series. I think it's a perfect landing spot. He's 35 years old. I've been critical of Russell Westbrook because, you know, he struggles when he was trying to close games, even though we had the triple-double average. but I like it. I think Russ is looking for a chip. I think Russ is looking to be a piece. He will learn from Jokic. He will learn from this team and Mike Malone. They will try to use his athleticism and his finishing ability and his defensive pressures with the steals to a bit more efficient way than it's been in the past. I did not like him on the Clippers at all. I think it's a total antithesis of what we're having with the Nuggets. I think it's a great landing spot, and it could really work. It's actually somewhat I'm kind of targeting for fantasy for next year because okay. I think he's going to be so easily available, and he could absolutely be 5-5-3-2 in a short period of time in those games. I love it. I'm rooting for Russell because he's been so great for so long, and he's had a lot of bad breaks. This is the best spot for him. It's what I expect him to finish his career on.
Yeah, and I think you've seen him over the last couple of years, right? Yeah, kind of counter to what some aging stars, former MVPs, do when they, you know, on the backside of their career. He has accepted a bench role, a rotational type of role with the Clippers, and even going back to some of the time with the Lakers. So we'll have to see. Again, I'm more worried about how Denver is going to fill that spot in place of Caldwell Pope, how they're going to back up Jokic this year with the Holmes injury. But I'm with you. I think the move for Westbrook himself, for the second unit here, you know, Colin Gillespie now in Phoenix as well. He's out of the picture there in this Nuggets backcourt. They traded Reggie Jackson. So if you trade Reggie Jackson away, bring Russell Westbrook in. I still think, even at his advanced age, NBA-wise, I still think that's an upgrade.
Yeah, I think it is. And you're right about Holmes. I saw Holmes when he was a young player at Dayton. I mean, just dominating on the interior. But you're saying that's not going to work at the next level. Then I saw him again at Fordham when he played Fordham, went down as a beautiful Arthur Avenue Italian night, Zach. It's incredible. Go in there with a total full belly and watch Deron Holmes go inside out hitting threes. I get it, guys. It's Fordham. But I said he's really trying to develop his total game. And then played super well in the tournament against Arizona in that matchup as well. So, yes, he's developed. It's a terrible blow. He's a great kid. He works super hard. He can step out and make some shots. Going to have a really nice NBA career. That hurts. Also want to shout him out because I think he's going to come back. I hope he comes back better than ever because he really improved his game, really developed it and the college level to get ready for the pros.
We'll finish off episode one here on the Fast Break with a little stock up, stock down. We'll start stock up, and Mike, I'll go to you first. Who's trending up in the NBA world?
Yeah, real quick hitters, teams, three of them.
Okay.
I love the Thunder. Youngest number one seed in NBA history. They bring in Hartenstein, which is a great move. 7-footer, strong rebounder. Caruso, who can be sort of a wing defender for them. I was critical of Chet Holmgren. Total different player this year. Aggressive, attacking the basket, hitting threes, the blocks, mean streak. Sam Presti, God bless you. Love this team. Mark Daigneault, coach of the year. SGA was NBA first team last two seasons. All the pieces are here, and they're adding the right pieces to build their championship. Lost to the Mavericks in six, but love everything they're doing. Second, the Knicks. Let's give a shout out for Tibbs. Finally, Zach, he's landed with a team that says, you know what? We're going to go all in on the Tibbs style.
Yeah.
A lot of players, not a big bench. Everyone's going to play defense. We're going to muck it up, and we're going to bring the whole Villanova team in here for chemistry. Fine. Love Tibbs, what he's doing. Bridges is a perfect fit. They re-signed Anunoby. I was worried about that when Bridges came in. Brunson took less money. Only issue, Zach, with them, of course, you got to defend Embiid, Giannis, Porzingis, all those people in the East. But we'll see how that goes. But love them as well. And last one, Mavericks, same thing. They have a style. It's working. Klay Thompson comes in. I think Najee Marshall's very underrated with Thompson because he's coming in. Derek Jones, going to be on the side of a milk carton, by the way, now that he's not with Dallas anymore. Love Derek Jones. Very good in DFS for us. Don't get me wrong. But they're going to be able to replace him with Najee, who works hard. Really tough player as well, minded. Luka, Klay, Kyrie. Team that went to the finals, building it the right way. So I love to see teams make moves, Zach, that are going to fill holes that we perceived. And that's what the Thunder, the Knicks, and the Mavericks did.
I love it. And I've still got Summer League on the mind. So that Thunder team, Dylan Jones and AJ Mitchell and Usman Jang was doing his thing out there before Vegas. It's been fun to watch those guys for sure. My stock up this week, and I'm cheating a little bit. I'm stepping outside of the NBA realm and looking ahead to the Olympics. My stock up is USA basketball because number one, I mean, you know me, Mike, it's my namesake, Kawhi Leonard off Team USA. And I think that is a win for all parties involved, because I don't think this team needs Kawhi, his defense, his offense. They've got wings galore. And I think the Clippers, you lose Paul George, you get it, Kawhi on an extension, James Harden. If Kawhi is not ready to play at least as many games as he did last year, that team has no chance, and they're moving into the new arena and stuff. So I think subtracting him from this team, and I know Jaylen Brown and some other folks felt some type of way about Jaylen being passed over, but I think adding Derek White to this roster, guard defense is paramount in the international game. Drew Holiday is one of the best international basketball assets in the world, and we saw that in the 2021 Tokyo event. So I think now you've got Drew and Derek White, not just Boston Celtic teammates, but Team USA teammates. I think Derek White, his defense, not just on the ball, but away from the ball as well, is going to be very valuable for Team USA. You have seen them just putting it to some of these other teams in these pre-tournament scrimmages. And I think I liked the other day, who knew that all you had to do to stop Jokic was bracket him with Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis. But this team is, to me, the deepest United States team we have seen, at least since the Dream Team. I think they could give them a run for their money. I think the USA, and maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid here, watching scrimmages that don't mean much, I think this team is going to run rampant through this whole tournament.
Yeah, a great call there. And at some point, I want Bam Adebayo to get a Defensive Player of the Year award. He deserves it. He's so underrated. I'm with you. They're constructing the team the right way. Love it. Drew Holiday's a winner. I couldn't agree with more on all those points. USA basketball. Yep.
Going to stock down now, and I really hate using an event like Summer League to try to deem a rookie, especially a second overall pick, to deem a rookie a bust. It's a little bit irresponsible, but I cannot ignore Alex Sarr and just how bad he has been from the field. Trying to pull up his stats now, I think the one that I know off the top of my head, 1-for-21 from the field over his last two games. There was a lot made, of course, on social media, is going to take an 0-for-15 performance and run with it. But how am I supposed to defend an 0-for-15 performance? I tried to do so by loading up on him a little bit. You didn't have to play much on DraftKings yesterday to get over the field after an 0-for-15 performance. But Mike, 5.5 points per game through his four appearances now, 19% from the field, 12% from three. And this is just a hair under 30 minutes per game. If I'm a Wizards fan right now, I am pulling my hair out, because if you're a Wizards fan, how can you not feed into the doom and gloom that has surrounded your franchise for so long now? And you get the second pick and you pick Sarr and he looks like this. I feel for Wizards fans right now. Stock all the way down for Alex Sarr.
Really? Stock all the way down for Alex Sarr or for Kwame Brown? Which one do you want to say? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
He doesn't look ready. He's not a player with post moves that just weren't going in. He's not a super aggressive screen roll, jumping on the weak side. He's not a shooter. What you do is you see players who have struggled, but you see what their style is, and you just say they have to adjust. What is he exactly? The weak side block. I get it. Very shaky with Alex Sarr. Not excited about him all. Didn't see any positivity, anything. Give me 2 points, but five blocks. Or give me something. The rebounding doesn't seem to be there. Getting very Kwame Brown vibes, Zach. I really am. I'm concerned. Not overreacting, concerned. Yes.
Yeah. When if I'm a Wizards fan, I am taking some solace that Bob Carrington at 14, that looks like a winner. Yeah. He's been great. Yeah. All right, we'll close that with you. What's your stock down here on episode one?
Listen, there are teams and moves I just haven't liked historically. I did not like the Timberwolves a couple of years ago, but I was on them last year. So there are teams that I think sometimes are a year early or a year late. I don't get the Lakers. I don't. I saw the Yankees do this with Aaron Boone here, Zach. Yeah. A player who wasn't really a superstar and had no coaching experience. Everybody likes to say coaching experience is overrated. No, it's not. You're leading a team. You have to work through the ranks. Redick, everybody's like, well, he's a really cerebral coach. Based on what? Based on his podcast? You're cerebral also. You should get the job then, Zach. So I don't believe in Redick. I think there's a learning curve. LeBron's going to be 40. Bronny James, not good. We've gone through this. Anthony Davis, 31 years old, Zach. He played 76 games last year. Do you know that's the most games he ever played in one season his entire career? So are we expecting that to repeat or that to regress? They were 47-35 and lost in five games to Denver after getting swept by Denver. Yes, I mean the conference finals the year before. Don't think they're going the right direction. LeBron, legend, Mount Rushmore, everything you want to say about him, but he's 40, Zach. Anthony Davis, rookie coach, no experience. Bronny James. Best thing that got going is the nickname for Dalton Connect, Connect Four. Besides that, I don't like the Lakers at all. I'm not saying they won't have their moments. I'm saying I'm betting the under on their win total. That's what I'm telling you.
I like that you bring up the Anthony Davis games number, because that to me is a big thing. A big sign is why, as to why I think this team just really has no hope in terms of contending for a championship next year in their current iteration, because Anthony Davis, again, you mentioned 31 years old now. And do we really think he's going to play 76 games again? And even if he does, is this team going to be much better than 47-35? It's really tough for me to see them improving on what they did last year.
Zach, if somebody likes the Lakers, you're telling me that Anthony Davis, you can't assume he's playing the same amount of games, so he's going to play less. And look at LeBron James games played the last 4 years. 45, 56, 54, 71. He went all in this year, and they couldn't get it done. They didn't add a ton. They got a new head coach with no experience. It just doesn't add up to me. So I am fading the Lakers, not fading LeBron's greatness. I'm fading what I saw repeating this year. I really am.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for episode one of the FTN Fast Break. We appreciate you guys tuning in, sticking with us here. We will be back next Friday with episode two. And in the meantime, you can follow Mike on Twitter at Randall Rant. You can follow me at Kawisenberg DFS. You can follow the podcast at FTN Fast Break. And of course, at FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets, FTN Network, all of the FTN accounts. Make sure you're following those for all of the content, the great content here at FTN Fantasy. Mike, anything else for you before we get out of here?
I'm thrilled to be back. Refreshed and replenished is the theme. We're going to be coming to you every week. Can't wait to get started here, Zach. Great stuff. Summer League. Let's finish it off in fine fashion here. Looking forward to seeing GG Jackson go nuts.
Couldn't have said it better myself. We'll see everybody back here next week for episode two. Goodbye.